This says we gather to get our minds' thoughts upon him, or himself is kind of the title we're thinking upon Christ himself. We have in the scriptures that phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and we think of that with regard to him who came, and he who intercedes for us, and he who is coming again. When the Lord comes again, he's not sending someone in his place. He himself is coming. So we think upon that as we've been dealing together out of the book of Ephesians with regard to this whole area and topic of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of him who came, the boldness that we have in Christ and the delight of going into his presence and the confidence we have of serving him. So if you might get your Bible there in hand and find your way to Galatians, I'm going to speak a little bit before we get to Galatians. Actually, just reading some verses that deal with this topic of himself, a great study in the scriptures. A few weeks ago, we did a study together which spoke with regard to we have, all that we have in Christ. We have this, this, and this in Christ. And here we're thinking about this morning hour with regard to the personalness of Christ, himself. And so we'll be reading a few verses as we prepare our minds, hearts, and think about the table of remembrance this morning hour. So we're reminded that any access or approach to God can be and only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are, as we're commanded, taught in the scriptures, to draw near to Christ, if we're going to draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed we must come in his name, in who he is, the person of himself. And we've been invited to come near to the Lord Jesus Christ, sit at his supper table, which speaks of a very close gathering. The Lord's table is that uniqueness of a service of displaying unity and closeness and the joy of belonging to Christ and who he is. So we come to the supper table, a close one by one beside another place of those who have been born again. Here we kind of sit elbow to elbow. You ever sit at a table where you couldn't hardly move your elbows? It's hard to eat, isn't it? You hardly wiggle around a little bit. When I was a kid, a lot of big family gatherings, and I have a big family. One day I'll meet many more of them. I've never met half of them, I'm sure. But it seemed like the kids always got some place where you just kind of, you know, couldn't do too much. Well, the Lord's Supper is a place of closeness. It's thinking about our closeness to the Lord and him to us and we to one another. And so it's a service with that. It's where we have the Lord Jesus Christ who has served at that first Last Supper, those that were around him as the supper. And we remember and bring that supper elements, the parts of it here this morning hour. God's fullness, as the scripture calls it, is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we would know God, we must know the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So God's strength is Christ. Interesting phrase. He is the power of God. The love of God is manifested in Christ himself. We want to learn about the love of God. We study and learn and walk side by side and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might experience the overflow, the glow of the love of God through us in remembrance at a family time. A family time of gathering is for the family members to think one of another, as each one belongs to Christ, the Lord Jesus himself, and we think about our lives, what the one next to me has in Christ, I have, and what the next one has, I have. And so it's a great closeness of unity that's brought out here. And all that is God is indeed revealed in Jesus. He who has come has said, he who has seen me, seen Christ, has seen the Father. So as we abide in his presence and kind of think on these little things this morning hour, remembering his glory and his sufferings, we're invited from Jesus to sit and contemplate boldly what we have in Christ. We have him. I am his and he is mine. And it's all because of Christ, and the table is to remind us who Christ is. Yes, what he has done, but who he is, who Christ is. Now, there are many passages in the scriptures that tell us in very touching and some very telling words that Jesus the Christ himself died for sinners. Not the nice guys, the good guys, and the guys who deserved it, and on, but for sinners. So the word himself is what makes the scriptures very touching, very personal. Christ himself. Very telling passages as we think on them, look at a few this morning hour. Very, very tender as well. When the Lord Jesus Christ had resurrected from the dead, and as he walked with a couple of others on his way to spend the evening with them. And we're reminded in Luke chapter 24 that the scripture says that he spoke to them of the things concerning himself. And of course, he spoke out of all the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, with regard to himself, Luke 24 and verse 27. And he spoke primarily of two things. Primarily he dealt with two areas or matters. Number one, his sufferings. He spoke of his sufferings out of the Old Testament prophecies. And he spoke of his glory. Sufferings and glory, verse 28. They are about himself. And he himself has done all that we remember here today. Our minds can get so far off in different things and directions, you know, worried about, will I get to dinner in time? Worried about, you know, will there be a lot of traffic? Our minds are on all sorts of things. But, you know, Christ wanted the minds of his followers upon the sufferings of himself and the glory. It's all about Christ. His sufferings are the foundation of his grace. If we might think of a building, a house, or this building, just the fact it's a building, and we would think of that the sufferings of Christ we looked upon as that of the foundation. Solid and sure. The foundation of his grace. And we'd think of his glory as that which tops it off. It's that beautiful topping with regard to it all. So Jesus himself is the house or the storehouse, we might even say, of all the things that we need in life. He is the house of God's provision. And the provision is total and sure. We cannot add to it. Complete provision in Christ. So we ponder who this storehouse is as we remember him together. And we watch for the word himself. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Galatians 1, actually I guess I'm going to read in verse 3.
Well, I could even read before that. Now I sounded like our Sunday school teacher. Verse 1, Galatians chapter 1:1 talking gets us in perspective who he's writing about, the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Father raised from the dead, and he writes to the churches. So here's a lesson to us, a church, this morning hour. Then he says to you, the church, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes immediately into our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. It wasn't someone else who was in the place of Christ. He gave himself. And why? Well, for our sins. How come? That he might deliver us. We're as good as delivered from this present evil world according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Himself. He himself. We remember Christ himself this day as we come together. Our mind is not up on, oh, careful, I might spill a drop. Or, you know, how am I pass it to the next one? Our mind is not up on the way, the means with regard to remembering him, though they are very important as we think of him who shed his blood and was in the body like our own. But we got remember the person of Christ, and you gather together and we're sitting here. He himself gave himself. Gave himself for us. Chapter 2 and verse 20, same book, perhaps a little more familiar verse, Galatians 2:20, perhaps one some many of you memorize, you know what he says in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, you know, put to death with Christ. I was in Christ, I died in Christ, I've been crucified with Christ. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, this life day by day, moment to moment, all the stuff that's in this life, every moment of every day, all that's going on, the life that I now live in the flesh, how do we live it? He says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And he did what? He gave himself for me. We ponder and think on that at this table time, at this very moment in time together. Ephesians puts it this way, as you might find the next book, and if you just want to sit and listen, that's extremely fine as well. But down in Ephesians chapter 5, we have this statement brought out in verse 25, of husbands, love your wives. Exactly as, just as, even as, you know, to the very pointedness of Christ who loved the church and gave himself for it or for her, gave himself for it. And I'd move you along rapidly to Timothy, the first book of Timothy in chapter 2, 1 Timothy in chapter 2. When you get there, you might find verse familiar, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. We're reminded there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We are those in this due time testifying of him and speaking of him and declaring who he is. Then Titus, right close by the little book of Titus and chapter 2, if you would please, in verse 13. Titus 2:13, and here's what we read there concerning him whom we have gathered to remember. Remember, the grace of God has appeared in verse 11 to all. It teaches us. God's grace is a great teacher there in verse 12. And then verse 13, what are we to be doing? Looking looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's going to be specific with him now, who gave what? Himself for us, that he might redeem us, pay the price, redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own peculiar or special people, zealous of good works, of testifying with regard to who Christ is and rejoicing in who he is. Hebrews puts it this way in chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, as we think of these, the last days, which has been from the time Christ was here down to now and until Christ comes. But we think of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 about the Lord Jesus Christ, who made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand, the majesty on high. This we remember, we think about at his table. We're to ponder these things and to kind of chew upon them, if you please, with regard to sitting here together, elbow to elbow or face to face, as the case might be. And our remembrance is upon Christ. I fear so often our minds are elsewhere and they wander, and we're to be upon him, thinking upon him. One more portion, Hebrews 9, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Talking about Christ and the cross and the suffering upon it, and how it happened but once for him to take care of our sins. Verse 26, Hebrews 9:26. He then would have had to suffer from often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the age, he has appeared. That's the Lord's first coming. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait, we're waiting eagerly for him, right? We're waiting eagerly for him. He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Today, once again, we sit at the table, at the invitation from the Lord. He himself gave us the invitation. He himself set up the remembrance table. So who should we remember? Who should we remember? Remember who we're having supper with. And remember what the one who invited us to the supper table has done and is doing and will do. We're to remember, you know, who we are to remember. Remember him. Jesus himself, as we gather together to do that. Just before we sing a song and serve the Lord's table, would you find Matthew in the words of the Lord in Matthew 26, please? Matthew chapter 26, we'll read some scripture, we'll sing a song, and we'll, as we're, the men are serving the Lord's table, we'll ponder upon these things we've said as we sit with him. So 26:26 of Matthew. Matthew 26, and at verse 26, and as they were eating, you know, the Passover meal's underway. Jesus interjects something totally new. He took bread, blessed, which we believe means he asked the Lord's blessing. He prayed with it, blessed and broke it. He broke it. He gave it. So the bread will be passed here to the disciples. Notice that, the disciples. They didn't go out in the streets and pass it out. It was to those who were saved and baptized and followers of the Lord. He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." We know this illustration of the bread with regard to himself. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it," or "drink from it, all of you," saying, "This is my blood," speaks of his death. "This is my blood," speaks of his death in the place of others, speaks of blood that's able to cleanse us. "This is my blood of the new covenant," something brand new. He's establishing the church and all the ministries of it, "which is shed for many." Why is it shed? Why was it shed for you and me? He himself, we've just read about, for the remission of sins. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you." He himself will do that in his Father's kingdom. Things to ponder, think upon, as we participate and remember this day who it is we're having supper with. We need to remember that. We're going to pray together, then we're going to sing, and then we'll serve the Lord's table. Father, take your word as we have read it. Might it be as a great spear to our hearts that convicts and convinces us and gets our minds away from a world that has indeed so many things and stuff to distract us. We thank you. You put this supper table here for us to remember only you, Christ himself. Might that be the case this day, as we thank you in his name. Amen.